And joining us in the studio to talk synchronicity, Chris Mackey. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Daryl. Hi, Roxy. Very well, thanks, Daryl.
Hello, Chris. So tell us about what synchronicity we're talking about today.
Well, we've got someone, I believe a caller, Neil, who got in touch with me when I was starting to write the second edition of my book, and I thought it was one of the best stories I've heard. So I invited Neil to see if he'd be interested in calling, and I believe that he's on the line.
Neil is on the line. Hello, Neil. Welcome to the catch-up.
Hello, Daryl. Hello, Roxy.
Hi, Neil.
Chris. Hi, Neil. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful.
All right, Neil, let's have the story, because apparently it's a cracker.
Yeah, well, it's quite a complex one, so I've got dot points, but I hope your listeners get the gist as I go through it. Now I remember this really well. Although I'm 70 years of age, I've got a very good memory, because it traces way back to the late 1970s, and it started out near Yarra Glen. It was my second synchronicity experience, actually. Now, I was driving towards Yarra Glen from Melbourne. It was a Friday evening in November, about 5 p.m, and a friend of mine named Mike was with me. Now, his father owned some racehorses, and Mike was a guy, he definitely liked a joke. He was a quizzical sort of fellow. Anyway, we're heading out for the monastery at Tarawarra, and we were going to be staying there for the weekend, a remote sort of place where I did some philosophy research back then with the Trappist monks. And as you know, they used an old sign language to communicate. So what follows, actually, the way I conceive it, this synchronicity is a curious blending of Mike's humour and the philosophical quest that I was back then. So see if yourselves and your listeners can detect exactly what I mean by this mixture, this blending.
Sure, Neil. So you're driving to the Tarawarra Monastery, and yes. What's happening is you're chatting.
Okay, so now we're driving along. Picture this, we're driving along in the car, and someone on a previous visit had told me that one of the older monks there had a reputation for being a bit psychic.
So you got a psychic monk there.
So, yeah, so it's a story about a psychic, or an alleged psychic monk that we've got going on here. So I asked the person on that previous visit what they actually meant by this. It sounded a bit quizzical. So that they just responded with a bit of a laugh. Oh, it's hard to explain, but he certainly catches a few people off guard at times. Now, this comment, of course, sounded a bit cryptic, really. So anyway, here we are in the car. I was recalling this, and it was near Melbourne Cup time, and Mike's father owned some horses, and we were talking about horses coming up in the big race. So at this stage, we were about an hour out of the Abbey, away from the Abbey, I guess, and in Tarawarra. And then I said, oh, Mike, he sounds a bit of a mystery, this old monk. We'll have to watch out and see if he does anything unusual. It went exactly like that. I've got a very good memory. But Mike said, he just replied, these were his exact words, how on earth could you prove if a monk is psychic? How would you test a monk? And he spoke just like that, in a very direct kind of a way. And I just replied, good question, Mike. Anyway, we continued driving along. A few minutes passed, and this is the next interesting bit, Chris. After our Melbourne Cup discussions, this next thought suddenly crossed my mind.
Yep.
And it was quick as a flash. Just like, I believe, one of your other
yes,
callers.
Yes, say what your thought was, Neil.
Yes, that good friend of yours. Now, it went exactly like this, Chris. I said to him, listen, Mike, if we see this monk riding like a jockey on a little wooden rocking horse, I will definitely believe it. he would be psychic for sure.
Then he'd be a psychic monk. So what happened?
Well, that's probably the most nonsensical thing I've ever said, Chris, but as you can imagine.
So you knock on the door of the Abbey.
So then, yeah, so it's a test. So never in a million years would you see that. So anyway, we arrived at the Abbey, we parked the car, rang on the doorbell, and they used to take it in turns up there to greet the guests at Tarawarra, and about 25 of them were living there. So you can all probably guess now who opened the door.
The psychic monk?
Good guess, Darryl. It was the psychic monk. What happened next, Neil?
You might be psychic yourself, Chris, now. The first coincidence, he ushered us in. That was the first coincidence. He ushered us in, and soon we were seated right in front of an open fire, and he was sitting right between us. I can still see it. We were waiting for him to say something, like anything, but he just would not speak. And complete silence descended, I suppose. And this made me really think fast. Was he doing this on purpose? I had no idea. Perhaps he only communicated through signs in that old Trappist language. But whatever was happening, another thought crossed my mind. And once again, it happened in a flash, Chris. Now, it went like this. Can you tell us anything about the true nature of God? And I don't know where that question came from, but surely...
It just popped in your mind. And what happened then?
Yeah. So I thought, well, maybe he's got to say something now, but I'll rush through this into the final sequence here, Chris, how it unfolded. Now, it's all in the words, listeners. So picture this. An old monk sitting still, gazing at a fireplace, deep in thought. And when I looked closer, he was sitting on a small wooden chair. And then the most unexpected thing happened. These movements started. He was no longer still, slowly at first, backwards and forwards in a rocking kind of motion. And then he moved faster, and he proceeded to produce a whipping action, looking just like a jockey, as if riding a horse. And he even pretended to rein it in. Now, this monk was elderly, very old, and then he suddenly stopped, looked straight over at me and said, "Ah, God is like the rider of a horse. Some people need a lot of guidance, but with others he can loosen the reins a little." At this point, something obviously within me finally dawned. Here was this monk moving on a wooden chair, just like a rider on a little wooden rocking horse.
So he passed the test, eh, Neil?
Well,
it looked like he was a psychic monk at that point.
He passed the test. And I think it's called a synchronicity, I believe, Chris. But now this all unfolded 4 decades ago. I've had other experiences like this, which are way beyond coincidence, and I still think about it, but never in a million years would you expect to see it. But
Well, I thought that was a real ripper, Neil, because just as an aside, it struck me that I started to write my book, and then part of it is about the nature of the psyche. And Freud talked about the psyche is like a rider on the horse.
Oh,
so the rider is like the ego, your conscious ego. Yes. The id is like the power of the horse.
Yeah.
And then your super ego is what reins you in. Now, as I was writing, what I realised is your analogy, a rider on a horse, like a... Then I came across writings of Plato who talked about the soul as being kind of like a rider of a winged chariot, a rider on a winged horse. And now I think of the mind, the psyche, as being a bit like a rider on the horse, but the soul as being a bit like the rider on a winged horse. And if we can tap into synchronicity and that spiritual dimension, sometimes we can achieve things over and above what we otherwise could achieve.
Thank you for the story, Neil. We are out of time. Thank God we didn't get
thank
to the,
you, Neil.
The whip I thought he was going to say the monk walking into a bar. And that, but anyway, that was amazing, amazing.
Chris Mackey with Synchronicity. Thank you for your time this
afternoon.
Thanks
very much, Neil. And thank
massive story from Neil. So we are actually out of time. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks very much, Daryl. Thank you, Roxy.
See ya.